It's what to expect when you're expecting a dwarf. We saw tiptoes, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to another episode of How Did This Get Made? First of all, I apologize for missing a week of the show. I'm away in New Orleans, and we had some technical difficulties. We figured it out. I think I sound better than I did for the mini episode. So here we go. I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael.
Hi, Paul.
It's weird when we can't look at you.
I know. This week we have a very special guest. I'm a big fan of this guy. You know him obviously from MTV. He does a new show called Drink with Dave, and you've seen him on Reno 911 a bunch. Please welcome Dave Holmes.
Hi. Hi, you guys.
Hi, Dave.
Paul, just so you know, Dave came in cycling shoes and and a helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a Mr. Rogers change.
That's right.
Before
we started. That's right. The helmet is off. My sweaty head is revealed.
Yeah.
I care about my mother. Earth.
Your mother Earth?
Mother Earth.
Boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
This is a message guest.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. This is a message guest.
Obviously.
We do not want this to be. Yeah, we do not want messages on this podcast.
Well, then you picked the wrong movie.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into the movie, which is amazing, I got to tell you, we got new t-shirts. That's right. The Crank 2 Bai Ling inspired How Did This Get Made t-shirt. It looks awesome. Go get it. But now, without any further ado, let's talk about this movie.
Because my God, was my mind expanded.
This movie, I've only seen the trailer, and the trailer obviously has like been a viral sensation, and I never thought the movie could live up to how insane this trailer was. But it does. It tops it. The movie's more insane than I could have possibly imagined.
Well, the trailer, I feel like, makes it seem as though, because I would watch it, and makes it seem as though it was a comedy or something like that. And this is a drama.
Oh, yeah.
This is a hard drama.
Yeah. Yeah, I never did see the trailer, so I can't I can't speak to...
The trailer just feels like...
Oh, sorry.
Get out of here.
Cycle your way out of here. The trailer just makes it feel like, it's like a really broad comedy that didn't work, but this is a very serious drama.
Oh, my gosh.
Up until the very end.
Up until the very end in the midget hospital.
There's some acting going on.
The small hospital.
A lot of acting.
Big acting.
Big acting, small actors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Guys, this is going to be terrible. We're going to do
start
and
over?
Say
we can
terrible
over, right?
things.
Okay. Well, do you guys know, like, the first shot of the movie is basically Gary Oldman in a motorcycle that looks like the Munsters car?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even understand what that motorcycle is. It's like a lowrider, but it's really wide. And
you can tell that they had to make a second one that was a little bigger. For the close-up shots?
Yeah.
Right. To sort of give perspective?
Yeah.
Well, here's maybe a dumb question, but why... I mean, there's a lot to get into, but I think the first question is, why would they cast a regular-sized person in that role? And I do... After watching the movie, though, you're like, okay, well, there's... besides Peter Dinklage, there aren't a lot of... capable little person actors.
Whoa,
became
are you
very
saying
clear.
That the actors in this movie are not good? The midget actors?
Oh, boy.
They do run out.
They run out.
Capable actors kind of quickly. Right?
Well,
can we agree?
How dare you?
There are a few.
How dare you?
Yeah, there are a few.
Absolutely.
But then, can kind of tell.
But pretty quick, it's like.
This is definitely one of those things that got around the little person community that were like,
oh, for sure.
Have you heard about Tiptoes? Have you heard about Tiptoes?
Are you going in for Tiptoes?
Are you going in for Tiptoes? Which one? I'm going in for Sally. Oh my God, that's the part. You know, like, every little person in Hollywood was in this movie.
Yeah. But don't you think it's like really insulting the fact that, like, Gary Oldman is playing a little person against Peter Dinklage, who is a little person? It would be like Denzel Washington doing a movie with a white guy in blackface.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy. It's like the whole movie's like, you know, dwarfs can do anything that anyone can, except be the lead actor in a movie about dwarfs.
Yeah, that's all I can pull off. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I can think about, because like I get very tense in the moment before a camera starts rolling, just because there's always those last minute little tweaks, and they get fix your hair, and they fix a light, and they move a chair, and whatever. And you want to be super quiet because the camera's about to go, and you don't want to fuck anything up. And so, like, I always get very tense in those moments, even when it's like cozy and comfy, you know. In those tense little moments on that movie, Peter Dinklage is standing next to Gary Oldman, who is on his knees.
Yeah.
Like, that must be fucking
yeah, last looks, everybody.
Crazy.
Last looks.
Gary, we're ready for you.
Gary, get on your knees.
Right.
I'm going to wait till they're rolling.
He's clearly on his knees. The other thing that I found very strange is that not only are Gary Oldman and Matthew McConaughey brothers, but they are twin brothers.
Yes.
Yes.
When Gary Oldman is clearly 20 years older than Matthew
easily.
McConaughey.
Well, there's so many medical mysteries that are more confounding than, like, dwarfism and these genetic diseases because their father is also 50.
Yeah.
Like, Gary Oldman is the same age as his dad in the movie.
Yeah.
His dad, who is the Twin Peaks, the little person from Twin Peaks.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And Gary Oldman and Matthew McConaughey are doing two completely different Southern accents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Completely yeah.
Sometimes,
different.
Sometimes doing them. Gary is in and out.
Yeah, it comes and goes.
I think that, like, Matthew McConaughey wasn't making a choice. I think Matthew McConaughey was just being him.
Right.
I think Gary was trying to match it. But it was hard because he was also carrying the weight of doing the best dwarf impression of all time. I mean,
yes.
Like, it really
clearly
does.
Dwarfing,
like,
through the whole movie.
His body movement is, at some points, less, like, mobile. Like, I'm like, he's walking on his knees or I don't even know. It's crazy. And then sometimes they use other midgets. You've seen that, right?
Like, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
There are a couple scenes where it is clearly just very cheap, shitty CGI. He's definitely, every time he's moving, he's clearly on his knees. But
yes.
Then there are a couple scenes, like when he's outside Sally's door for the first time, you can see that they CGI'd out his calves and feet
and added
new feet. Like, really badly. badly. Like, sci-fi channel badly.
That's
you know?
Wild.
Yeah, it was, ugh.
You know, I also there is a one thing. This is actually blows the whole theory in the whole movie, but basically the whole movie is about Matthew McConaughey dating this girl that really doesn't know him that much, but I think they're going to get married, and she
gets
pregnant by
accident in June.
Right. Even though they don't seem to like each other at all.
No.
Like, from the beginning.
I found the plot absolutely inexplicable. There was no, like, I couldn't understand the relationships between people, what I was meant to be caring about, what storyline I was meant to be trying. Like, 25 minutes in, I wrote, like, whose movie is this?
Yeah, who are these people?
Well, it starts off as his movie.
Yeah,
and
it starts off as Gary Oldman's movie,
and then it turns into her movie.
Then he's a firefighter.
And
sometimes he's not a firefighter. Well, he is, but his trade is to...
Train cadets.
Is to train firefighters.
Right. He's the Coach Taylor of firefighters.
He takes them on firefighter retreats.
Yes. Yeah. Which are either 5 minutes or 2 hours away.
No
you
idea.
Can't tell.
No,
it's
no
all,
idea.
It's some distance that he can't
get back
home.
I know that that's also the same park, though, where they shot Peter Dinklage and Patricia Arquette.
Yeah.
I think
definitely. That was all the same day's work.
Yeah.
Patricia Arquette is wearing the same outfit for the entire movie,
right.
Even though the movie takes place over the course of more than a
Months.
Year.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, when she and we're jumping around, but she and Peter Dinklage go into like the little person rally or whatever, like the little person GLAAD awards or
whatever
David Alan Grier is hosting. They walk
in. I like
in,
that it's the little person GLAAD awards.
But you know what I mean? It's like some little person advocacy group that's throwing a dinner.
Yes.
And they go in and they are kicked out for stealing food in like 90 seconds.
No, oh, yeah. Nine,
they couldn't have really taken more than five steps.
Yeah.
and
how much food is right there at the door?
What did they do?
Yeah.
The event, all right, well, first of all, there's so many things. David Alan Grier makes a cameo in this movie that is very similar to Coolio's cameo in Leprechaun in the Hood, which is like, he appears, he barely says anything, he's in full costume, full character,
he's
seen him in one scene, and then he fucks a midget in another scene. That's it, right?
Yeah, that is all he does. And he is a big enough star that one of the firefighter trainees wants his autograph,
but not
a big enough star to not host the Little Person GLAAD Awards.
Right.
He appears to be some sort of Sammy Davis Jr. type character.
Okay.
He has Jr. in his name, and he's wearing a Sammy Davis Jr. type wig, which I have to believe he was like, oh, I'll do your movie, but I'm going to wear what I want, and I want to be able to name my character
I want. I feel like we could do a lot of time on the costumes in this movie. What's
Jerry Robbins Jr., by the way, that's
Jerry
his name. Jerry Robbins Jr.
I was calling him Jackie Rogers Jr.
Kate Beckinsale, who's a gorgeous woman.
Beautiful.
Is wearing the strangest assortment of hatwear in this film.
Oh, she is wearing a nightcap at one point.
She's wearing like a Where's Waldo, like old timey.
Yeah, with tentacles.
Yes.
I wrote down at one point, hats! hats. That's all I wrote.
A lot of hats. I also, I appreciated in their first scene when she's painting this giant mural in this.
Which was terrible.
Which was a terrible mural.
Horrible.
And he walks in, and they have a terrible conversation, like people who have just met each other and don't have any particular chemistry. She goes down on her knees to, I guess, blow him.
Like
immediately.
Immediately. Immediately.
And it's like, it's a little bit of foreshadowing. You know what I mean?
Oh,
the subject matter of the movie. It's like, right away.
I love this.
All right. Okay. All right.
Well, yeah, sure. just so you guys know that are listening, the plot of this movie is pretty simple. It's almost, I would say, small.
It's a very interesting plot.
I mean, basically, Matthew McConaughey and Kate Beckinsale are a couple. They get pregnant. Matthew McConaughey comes from a family of dwarfs. And now,
which he hasn't told her about.
Yeah. Which she hasn't told her about. And that is the whole issue of the movie. Is she okay with it? And is he okay with it?
I had to rewind one part a couple times, though, because he seemed to not. It wasn't just that they got pregnant. I mean, he didn't want to get pregnant. And then when she tells him, he says something along the lines of like, well, how did this happen? And she's like, well, you know, those couple of nights when she said, wake me up in the middle of the night. And then what?
And then she says, you remember those, right?
You remember those, right?
Because
wasn't that a weird
he's
moment?
He's sleep fucking her, basically.
But yeah, my question is,
comes home
she was
tired from firefighter training.
Sure.
You know, and ready to rock, I guess.
Okay.
And they just don't take
it. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in that bedroom because he also, for no reason, is wearing a retainer. Did you guys see that?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Puts in a retainer
and
then takes it out for a fight scene.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Wait a minute. He's wearing a retainer?
I didn't see that.
Yes. I'm so glad you saw it, Dave.
Yeah.
He's walking to the bed. I'm like, what is he doing? Oh, is he putting in a retainer?
Yeah.
And then he gets in the bed and then he gets into a fight with her and he takes out the retainer and he's kind of holding it in his hand.
Right, I thought it was gum.
So weird.
No, it was a retainer. It was a retainer.
That is now double crazy.
Well, but here's my question. So why didn't he want to tell her about, because the whole plot of the movie too is that she had no idea. I mean, they are engaged to be married in the summer, but she had no idea that he comes from a family of midgets. And
nor have their families met. That's the other thing, too.
Are their families met.
Yeah, never have met.
But he was just ashamed of it because it's shameful?
No, I think his whole thing was, I guess he's got a little bit of issues. We never really know.
We never find out anybody's motivation for anything. But is he ashamed? Because then he's also going to the Midget Glad Awards happily, and he seems like a hero.
Right. And he corrects people when they say midget. He says little people.
He says little people.
Like he's sort of an advocate, but he's also...
But he's leading like a secret life. He basically is only out to make the Glad connection. He's only out to the little people.
Right.
Like he's not out in his real life.
Right.
But I feel
which
like.
Is strange because he's not a little person.
He's passing. He says in the dwarf hospital,
he says, I'm a dwarf. Or in the house during the fight.
Yeah.
He says he's a dwarf about his son, and then he says, and I'm a dwarf.
But I mean, like, except for all of the symptoms of dwarfism.
Well, he does have very stubby arms.
Okay. All right.
Let's actually hear how Kate Beckinsale reacts to Matthew McConaughey when she finds out that he's from a dwarf family. That is the Jesus Christ clip.
Oh. Hey, Carol. What's going on? Is everything okay?
Your brother dropped by this morning.
They're firemen. Just watch. You drive all this way to tell me that?
I think you're going to let me know that everyone in your family's a midget.
Yes.
Well, they're not midgets, Carol. They're dwarfs.
Whatever.
Whatever!
But it suddenly occurred to me that it's a genetic thing, right?
Yeah, it's a genetic thing.
Okay, so just tell me. If you and I have a kid together, is it going to be a midget?
Carol, don't say midget, say dwarf.
Look, just answer the goddamn question, Stephen.
It's possible. It's definitely possible.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Yeah, well, it seems to me that his major concern... Oh, by the way, through that entire thing, he's training firemen, and she comes
women.
In. Firemen.
Firemen
and firewomen.
Fire one people. Of whom is a giant.
Yeah.
One of Amazon. Like,
there's a legitimate giant in this movie to offset all of the dwarfs.
But, just quickly, was she also meant to be sort of a love interest
I don't
for him
know.
At one point?
I,
like a foil?
That's what I thought.
There are deleted scenes probably on this DVD.
Yeah,
right?
She's definitely naked in some scene that never gets seen.
Okay, so he's off in this fire retreat.
Tell you that the original movie was over 2 hours long.
Oh, thank God. Doesn't surprise me at all.
And somebody cut it down to 90 minutes. The director is apparently furious, and he did not show up to the Sundance screening of the movie. Because
this got into Sundance? Shit.
Yes. Yeah. It is an official selection of Sundance 2004.
I know. Yep. That was really disturbing.
But, so what was weird for me, well, I mean, everything is weird, but this is happening because, like, we don't know where this fire retreat is, right? It could be...
It's
far enough that he can't stay at home, right? Because he's away on business. But she can just zip over.
Well, yeah, and it is curious now that I'm thinking of it that a fire retreat is happening like in an open field, like not in an urban area or with buildings,
right? There's just sort of a weird little brush fire going on. And when she comes in with this information and they are having this conversation, he doesn't just say like, go do laps.
Yeah.
Or like, here, put Take this 20. Out or whatever. Right. They're just sitting in a semicircle
here,
watching this happen. Right. And then he just walks back to them and they're sitting silently and attentively. It was just very, that was, I mean, there's
the,
a lot
one
that's
of
weird.
The things that's strange about this movie that I could not for the life of me figure out was who is this movie about? Because as much as we are, you know, hanging out with Kate Beckinsale and Matthew McConaughey as they deal with all this, the movie just keeps cutting back to Gary Oldman, Peter Dinklage, and Patricia Arquette on some sort of crazy, they're driving around on motorcycles, they're staying in hotels.
Yeah.
They're like, homeless.
They're homeless. Gary Oldman has to watch Dinklage fuck Arquette. Like,
He's got ulcers.
Dinklage, oh my God, Dinklage is sick.
He's a
with,
very sick
with
man.
With little
he's
people
a very
problems.
Sick man.
He's French sometimes.
Oh, he's French, by the way.
He's French.
Was
he's a French,
French
Marxist.
The whole time?
He's
I don't think
French.
He was at the beginning. He's a French Marxist, like dwarf separatist.
And I have no concept of what his role in the movie is, just None. Friend of Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
I think he was like the extreme, on the extreme end of like dwarf rights.
Progress happens at the end of the barrel of a gun.
Yes, exactly.
He's not even for dwarf rights, he's for French rights because he doesn't really talk about dwarfism that much, does he?
Well,
I mean, I have a clip of him talking in French if you just, for people to hear it. Can you play that French clip?
Yeah, who do you think you are?
I am French! And I'm proud to be French. I'm proud not to eat this disgusting swill. You people call cuisine. I'm proud.
Here's my phrase.
Asshole. Bobby is my uncle. And besides being my uncle, he happens to be a great guy.
He's nothing.
Oh, fuck. Who the fuck are you anyway?
I know who I am. And I know what I am. I am a Marxist. Who are you?
I don't want to hear about it. Just lay off. I don't even want to see the fuck near him. You got it?
Fine.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So that was at the party.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Which...
The midget party.
The midget party, which... okay. Matthew McConaughey brings, like, he's having this telephone conversation with Kate Beckinsale, right? And she's
Carol.
With Carol, and she's about to go to this party, this like midget house party, and then he throws his phone twice. I don't know if you caught that, but he throws his phone, and then it's in his hands again, and he throws it again, and then he says like to the blonde who might be his girlfriend or whatever, do you want to come to a party? So then they drive out to this midget party,
as if though he's going to show up with the blonde and it's going to make Kate Beckinsale jealous,
right?
Or something,
exactly,
which would sort of make. It would make more sense than what happens, which is they all show up.
Yep.
And they all have like fancy clothes
of
at
course.
The fire retreat because you never
you
know when
be
you might
be prepared for anything.
And
there
he brings
might be a fancy
two hour. Fire cadets who are gorgeous women.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Which and then is he, a whole other there, movie.
Which is a whole separate
what's
movie.
What's that movie?
But they walk in and one of them is like, there's a lot of midgets here. It, nowhere on that drive would you have said, like, we're going to a midget party.
Well, that's
one
the thing about
this
movie.
About this party.
That's the thing about this movie is nobody ever tells anybody
anything
no.
that they're, yeah,
people
anything
love
specific.
To surprise their close friends and family with little people.
With little people all the time. So then, they're at the party, and then Matthew McConaughey and Kate Beckinsale leave together. Where are the fire cadets going to go? They both drove separately.
Oh, yeah.
So these people are just lost in a world full of dwarves.
And meanwhile, he shows up with the two two fire cadets, mm-hmm. and they look like they're all like look like bombshells. Kate Beckinsale like smiles and is like, "Hey, honey," and he's like, "Hey, babe, how are you?" Ladies, I want you to meet my fiance. Like, they are in love, and I was like, "Wait, what was the setup? Why yeah. bring the fire cadets if their presence is irrelevant?"
Yeah,
it totally seemed to irrelevant. Me like there was just like it felt like a first draft. Like, oh yeah, we should do that. Oh no, we'll go back to this story. It's like four different people wrote this draft, and it never came together.
Right.
Well, the other thing that happens at that party too is that Gary Oldman is having a relationship with a prostitute,
Sally,
named Sally.
Yeah, yeah.
She's not a prostitute. She just
I'm
is
sorry.
A girl who likes to fuck.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
She's a tiny Gwen Stefani who loves to fuck.
She's fucking a Palestinian guy,
right?
Yes, who's normal size.
Who's normal size and beats Gary Oldman up.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of shit that happens in this movie.
Yes.
Didn't she say when she said she fucked the Palestinian guy, like, I fucked him twice because of what happened on the Gaza Strip or something like that?
Yeah.
Jesus. That might be true.
I missed that completely, and I'm glad.
But when Gary Oldman's at that party, he goes looking for Sally and finds her, and he opens up the door. The way this is shot and cut together
is crazy.
It's the craziest ass thing I've ever seen. He opens the door and finds Sally.
To like the pool house at the house.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Finds Sally.
A completely glass
yes.
pool house.
Well, yes. Yeah. Like, that's
they're
crazy.
Fucking,
yes. They're fucking
2 feet away from everybody else.
Everybody. 2 feet away from the party.
Of in between.
Everybody would turn around and watch this.
In a glass crazy. House.
Everybody yeah. would
in
be like,
middle.
Oh, look, right there
yeah.
is David Alan Greer fucking Sally.
Fucking tiny Gwen Stefani.
Yes.
But he opens the door as
and
if
then looks
he
shocked.
Didn't see it. Like,
yes. Right.
It's yeah, a you glass
it turns on the light
you
with
don't need
cane.
To have that reveal of the door.
You could have seen it from across the pool.
And then it's as if the whole party has taken notice right. versus everybody would have just been watching Dag go to Pound Town on, yeah. on Little Person Gwen Stefani. This made it no would, sense.
It
would,
even if there weren't glass, it just a window between the rest of the party that's 2 feet away and two people fucking, if the black guy who's four times the size of every other person at the party goes yeah. into a room with tiny Gwen Stefani, yeah. that would be something
right,
that everyone
sure.
would notice.
Sure,
oh,
sure,
guys,
right?
I just want to make sure and remind everybody that Gary Oldman's character writes for Harper's.
Yes, that was one of my favorite lines. That was one of my favorite lines. Yes, he writes for Harper's, and Tiny Gwen Stefani says, "I saw your article in Harper's about the Republicans."
Yes.
Like, that's as deep into it as they get.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
about in many respects, the Republicans. I felt like this is a perfect precursor to, like, R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, totally.
It has so many, like, similar elements to yes. it. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, there's midgets, there's fucking, there's it, nothing
you know,
makes
I'm
sense.
Starting
it's just all this, like,
I,
just junk just
I
thrown.
I wonder in. Now if this wasn't translated from like a French screenplay because
really
yes because there's dialogue that is so strange and feels so translated. Oh. Kate Beckinsale a number of times says like, "Well, I was cross with you because this happened." Like cross. That's
cross?
Insane. And a couple times she's like, "Well, I'm just bewildered."
Well,
like
do you-
the lines are just.
How about the line? This is my yeah. favorite line. When she's freaked out, I thought of you, Jason. That you would like this line. when they're talking about having a midget baby or whatever, she goes, "Did you ever have like a sexual?"
Oh my god!
Yes,
I wrote yeah. this down.
And then she goes, "So did you? So you had a circle jerk with a bunch of little people?"
Yes,
I would love to see that.
Yes,
and that's what I wrote because the minute she says,
"Did
you ever?"
Into it.
Yeah, the minute he starts describing, no, she starts putting her thumb in her mouth sexily, like chewing on her thumb while he says, you know, just like, well, just like kid stuff, you know, like playing doctor and stuff, and it becomes decidedly erotic. And then she says that line you just said, Paul. You had a circle jerk with a bunch of little people. I'd love to see that. Why?
Why would you?
Why
want
would
see
you
that?
Love to
why
see
would
that?
You want to see that?
Why would you love to see a circle jerk with little people and your normal-sized
yeah.
boyfriend?
So this
yeah.
is what's so confusing with the movie.
And all underage, too, because he did establish that just kid stuff.
Yeah.
So she wants to see a circle jerk.
And that conversation,
with like sixth graders.
That conversation begins with 5 minutes of detailing Gary Oldman's character's childhood and teenage years. Like, it's just the two of them lying in bed talking about what it was like for Oldman to grow up.
Yeah.
It was inexplicable. It made no,
made no sense.
Sense
at all. Well, also, they're whispering. Like, do they have yeah. roommates? Are they in a bunk bed?
Yeah.
Wait, no, they live in a gigantic loft
right.
in Los Angeles.
And when they talk to each other, they're
yeah.
whispering.
She
like,
is
why?
An artist, and yeah. he is a firefighter trainer. Of course, right?
And she does say, "I get the feeling that you're very ambivalent about your family being midgets," or she says
yeah,
something like yeah. that. Like it's who
she
even
says
that? That?
A couple of
no,
times.
Yeah. That and the other line that you guys said before was she goes, "I'm not mad, I'm just bewildered."
Yes.
Yeah. That was crazy. Oh, another one of my favorite lines. This is when he's when Kate Beckinsale walks in on the firefighter training retreat, and he's got all the firemen in a semicircle around them. This is the extent, and I want to say that this was improvisation on Matthew McConaughey's part. But his thing is, he holds something up and he goes, "This is a regulator. Don't use oil in it."
Yeah.
Yes. That's it. Like, that's your fire.
What does that mean?
What does that even mean? Yeah. Don't use oil in it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, a regulator, like puts oxygen in your in your mask, right?
Yeah.
Don't put oil in it.
Why would we? Don't put
flammable liquid near the fire. We're gonna go. Like, hey, buddy, no dough.
What scenario is that?
Hey, guy. Yeah, we know. I mean,
why did I sign up for this?
He's a Navy man, though, guys. He's a Navy man.
The other really weird thing about his character is that I think it's in the same scene where they're lying in bed together. She says, and she's accusing him of being ambivalent about midgets. Mm-hmm. And
she wants him to go to therapy.
Yes. She says, maybe he says, "You want me to go to a shrink?" And then he falls into like a catatonic coma state at the mention of going to a shrink.
He flipped. That's right.
To the point where I honestly thought he was molested by a shrink when he was younger. It was the only explanation.
Ooh, I love this idea.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Never explained.
He is not going to go to it.
No, he won't do it.
It happened. It occurs later, too. Like, the dwarf doctor is like, you should seek counseling, blah, blah. And Matthew McConaughey, this is in the hospital room where his son has just been born. He punches a hole in the wall and walks out.
Right.
Clearly, that wall was not prepped the right way, too. I feel like he broke a piece of set when he did that, because it's like, he punched it through a wall. Like, he's not that strong.
But what's weird about the movie is that I think it's actually very, like, it is a compelling story to have these twins where one's a bigger guy.
Mm-hmm. We're listening.
And has to really confront the fact that he's got a child on the way and what to do about that. And his relationship to
do you think that's interesting? Because let me just pop a hole here. Because that, it can't even happen, because apparently the gene for dwarfism only happens if he's a normal sized person, he can't pass it on.
No.
Like, the whole premise of the movie is it's just for naught because research says.
I would love that if somebody came in the very beginning and was like, "Oh no, that's not possible." Okay, great, credits.
Yeah, the end. Or if I could possibly pass the gene for dwarfism along, and I am worried about my children having health issues, I get a vasectomy. The end.
Yeah.
The end.
Or I don't sleep fuck my girlfriend without realizing.
Right.
But again, it can't happen.
It can't happen.
Once you're normal size, you've transcended.
The movie vacillates so bizarrely between vaguely comedic kind of set pieces like the dwarf party or whatever, and then screaming dramatic fights between McConaughey and Beckinsale, McConaughey and Gary Oldman, Gary Oldman and Peter Dinklage.
Like, we haven't even talked about the ending.
We haven't even talked about Dinklage and Dinklage having cornrows. We haven't talked about Dinklage's cornrows.
Oh my gosh. Can we play a clip of Gary Oldman and Matthew McConaughey fighting?
Yes.
That's our second clip here. Take a listen.
Why didn't you tell your girlfriend about us? What's it to you, man?
Okay, forget about us. Forget about family. You just focus on this. You knocked up this great girl, and you didn't tell her that her baby's probably going to be little.
And how the hell's that any of your business?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I'm your brother. You know, and it hurts like hell to think that you're so fucking ashamed of it.
Oh, goddamn you, Rob. Man, sometimes you are so fucking full of shit.
I'm full of shit.
Yeah, full of shit. All right, look, just because I'm not one of these guys who has to bare his soul to everybody I meet, all right, I'm not like you, Roth.
Sorry, I should have been more careful. I should have kept it in mind that anyone who meets you is going to just automatically know that you got a twin brother who's a fucking midget. God. You know, when she saw me, she got it straight up.
Why does Gary Oldman call himself a midget?
I like that he goes, he doesn't even tell this woman that he has a brother.
A twin? Never mind, a twin
brother.
He
lied to her when he went to the Midget Glad Awards that night.
That's right.
He was going somewhere else.
Yeah. Can we talk for a minute about Gary Oldman's wardrobe and how much of the heavy lifting it does?
Oh, yeah.
Like a midget? Because the whole thing is like, he's never out of clothes, right? And he's clearly not a dwarf.
Obviously.
So, like, and dwarfism is not just being small, it is a matter of proportion. Yep. So they so they have to, like, they pad out, like, a weird little hump on his back.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's at this shitbag, like, motel place, they have him in a robe.
Yep.
Which either he brought with him, which is implausible.
No,
or,
it's
or
a
he
big-
took, like... He took the person, but he's in it later, so maybe it's his own robe that is still
and
a
also,
regular person's robe.
I don't think that hotel would have provided
that for us. No, no, not at all.
Even though Patricia Arquette feels glamorous even being there, which is bullshit, because there's somebody nodding out
Patricia
on a couch.
Patricia Arquette is the most confusing and confounding character in this movie,
right.
And this movie is all confusing and confounding characters.
She appears for the first time just having gotten kicked off a bus.
Correct.
For reasons we never find out why. In the middle of the desert.
Yes, Dinklage just picks her up,
yeah.
And she's part of the movie.
Yeah, a bus driver has sentenced her to death,
yes,
basically.
Yes.
It's kicked her off a bus in the middle, like, of the fucking desert.
The vultures will get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dumb whore.
Ugh.
She is dressed like a whore.
Right.
People keep calling her a prostitute,
mm-hmm.
which she screams and yells at.
Super offended by.
Yeah. I also love when they put they put Gary Oldman on a couch and just do Kermit legs sometimes. I don't know if you
yes.
saw that,
yep.
but there are a couple
yeah.
scenes where it's just he's clearly standing up inside a couch.
Yes.
And
yes.
they just have these motionless little Kermit legs just sort
it's
of
like
sitting
Dorf
there.
On, never... Dorf on golf. It's like
yeah.
that kind
yes.
of level. It's not well done CGI at all or anything.
Yeah.
Well, it's The characters in the movie learn nothing, though, because Kate Beckinsale's really pissed that Matthew McConaughey didn't tell her about his brother and his dwarfism, and then she does essentially the same thing to her parents.
Correct.
Yes.
Same exact thing
exactly.
to her parents.
Exactly.
Have we also not talked about the fact that Matthew McConaughey is Jewish?
No.
No, no, she is.
No,
no
she's
Jewish.
And yet they
she's
cast
oh,
the most
right, okay,
waspy
yes.
looking
right.
people.
But she's
to play
clearly not barely Jewish. You know what I mean? Like they, she's,
oh, was that the point of that?
Yeah, the point was like the parents weren't really Jewish, didn't
oh,
have
I
a
didn't
Jewish
hear.
Wedding. Oh my
right.
God. Well, this is the whole misdirect of the parent dinner, right? And
well,
I
yes.
That, okay, the parent dinner is batshit from the
start. The parent dinner is straight. Crazy.
Super crazy in every way. Because like, for, like Kate Beckinsale, as you said, surprises her parents with the little person reveal. And then immediately is like, if you embarrass me, I'll never talk to you again.
Yes.
Well, you've kind of set her up to embarrass you.
And the
you.
Mother is like, you could have prepared us. And she's yeah. like, I didn't think it was important.
Well,
cut. Hey,
kind of
you
important.
Know what you thought was important the whole movie? This very topic.
Right. Right.
You know, like,
right.
like, you've been angry that he didn't tell you. Why would you? Oh, my God. What is wrong?
The
camera just proves my point, guys. Bitches
lingers,
be crazy.
Bitches be cray. The camera's on Kate Beckinsale's mom reacting to the
oh my
this
God.
Room, this family full of midgets. For, I would say, like a minute
yes.
of screen
mm-hmm.
time is just like a close-up shot of her taking them in with such
and it keeps,
shock.
And it keeps
and
going.
Keeps going.
It's hours of
going.
Lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, like they go through drinks, they're at dinner, and she still
she
looks.
She can't get over it.
They're small.
Yeah. So
yeah,
then she
small.
Finally has a, you know what, we have to talk about this moment.
Right.
And
after her husband's epic fart poem.
Wait, what was that?
What was that?
What, honest to God, what was
I
that?
Don't know.
It was like a limerick or what was
it
going on?
It started half limerick, but then it kept going.
Yes.
And
it
yeah,
was like, I think it was trying to show the father is getting a little drunk, so you were getting
yeah.
nervous, like, oh, what is he going to say?
Because
he's doing like, there once was a man from Farta
yeah.
who liked to fart. Like, it was really like a bad limerick.
Oh,
too.
It was terrible.
Really...
I think it was an original limerick written for the movie.
Yeah. I think that was Chad Everett also, right? Was
oh, yes.
Is that who that
right.
is?
Yeah.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Yes.
So then the mom is like, we have to talk about this. And Kate Beckinsale bursts into tears and is like, don't do it. Don't do this, mother. Don't, you know. And then the mom, instead of saying, the mother says, we are not prejudiced people. I don't want you to think, but we are prejudiced people. And so you think the mother's going to be like, you can't marry into a midget family. Instead, the dad takes over and is like, we got married and we didn't have a Jewish wedding. We didn't have a Jewish wedding. And your mother's uncle disowned us, didn't come to the wedding, so would you please have a Jewish wedding so we can invite him?
Right.
And he's also, this man is almost dying.
Right.
And they go,
yeah.
okay, yeah, we'll have a Jewish wedding, but if he dies, can we go back to having a Catholic wedding?
And
everyone's
and
like,
everybody
yeah.
laughs. Like, isn't that hilarious?
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
And that, oh, that's that, all of that business was built around, like, converting
the
to
fear.
Judaism
yeah.
for to please a distant uncle who's not even a part of the movie.
Who doesn't get a line.
Then hard
like
cut.
He's sort of in a shot.
Hard cut to Jewish wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, with old bearded man there who never gets to speak.
No.
Yeah, and Sally's there. Sally,
thank
who
God.
Is like, has still got David Alan Grier on her.
Yeah,
is
she never
at
washed
the wedding.
That up.
Oh, yeah. And then right at the end of the ceremony, Gary Oldman is like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Big Bear. I'm out of here.
Right, yeah.
And it's also like, wait a second. You had this cabin in Big Bear?
Mm-hmm.
Why were you homeless? Like, why did you have to stay in that horrible hotel room?
Yeah. Right, he's just traveling around, writing for Harper's.
He's traveling around.
Well, Harper's, you know, it's like you got to get on the road. You got to experience life.
So is that the syndicated column he keeps on talking about?
Oh, yeah. That comes later in the Sacramento Bee and a couple other things.
There's so much left to discuss. We are in trouble.
And I got to go, Paul.
All right. June,
okay, wait. Can we talk about
it? We can continue. June will leave.
Okay.
We'll continue.
Yes. All right. Sorry.
All right.
I don't want to stay for you.
Goodbye.
June, do you want to plug your Twitter? Do you want a mid-show plug?
Yes, please. At Miss June Diane.
Bye.
All right.
All right.
So they get married.
Yes.
Wow. And, I can't believe June just left the show.
I know.
I can't believe June just left the show.
So
she
I'm permanent
really,
now, right?
She got really mad at Dave.
You're in. Yeah. You're left. In, Dave.
Okay, great.
She's out.
Fantastic. So at the wedding, Kate Beckinsale, I know they have character names, and I don't remember what they
Who
are.
Cares?
Who cares?
Kate Beckinsale.
She gets out and like runs to Gary Oldman and is like, Rolf, I remember.
If you want, sometimes we apply the Twilight names to all the characters in movies.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you Bella. Want, you can call her Bella, and you Bella, can call
okay.
him Edward.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I guess Rolf is kind of the Jacob of
yeah,
the story.
Yeah.
He is. He really is.
Oh, by the way, that breaks down perfectly for how this movie ends in a very bizarre
Kinda,
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of.
Yeah. Rolf, you did so much.
Yeah.
Which I don't know.
I haven't seen him do anything, honestly.
Didn't really see him do anything. He shows up, at first, just at her weird, like, giant loft.
Yep.
And is bruised and is
a little beaten up by the Palestinian.
Right. Oh, right. And which, by the way, during that, when he gets punched, he, like, clearly goes back on his knees and then comes back up.
Yes. Yes.
Like, a person, like, he just sort of, like, he's Michael Jackson in Smooth Criminal, just sort of goes back to a 45 degree angle and then
and
springs
then,
back up.
Yes. Yes.
Well, clearly
they
on his knees.
They also do a thing. They choreographed that fight scene so his body is in between a door, so you can only see the top half of his body. So
right.
clearly,
well, they do that through the whole movie. They frame him out all the time, or behind things, or they do that throughout the whole movie.
Right. Yeah, it's just really bad playing with perspective. He's just not a dwarf.
So after they get married, they instantly, right, hard cut to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Right.
Yes.
They instantly hard cut to the hospital where they've had a dwarf baby.
Yes.
Okay.
And it does seem to be a tiny person hospital.
A dwarf doctor.
The hospital is a dwarf hospital. It really is like a dwarf hospital. There's like there's people out in the hallway where McConaughey is ranting and raving who are dwarfs.
Right. Yeah.
I was
the
like,
doctor.
What is the doctor is a dwarf? I was like, I cannot imagine there is a dedicated dwarf hospital that exists. Like, why? What is this?
Yeah. And she should be in a dwarf hospital having a dwarf baby. She should probably be in a regular hospital.
But guys,
yeah.
there isn't dwarf hospitals, right? I'm not crazy.
I mean, that
would be outrageous. There is just, there are normal hospitals.
I'm Googling it right now to see.
I can't even believe we're Googling this. Everybody goes to the hospital. Guys.
There aren't secret dwarf hospitals that we're not aware of. I can see where she would have a dwarf OBGYN.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But he would go to a regular hospital.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't
for
know.
For sure.
Anyway, McConaughey loses.
I mean, how do they even have beds for normal sized people in the dwarf hospital? Like, what situation would you a normal sized person go to a dwarf hospital?
I found this section confusing.
Yeah.
She says she's read all the books. McConaughey, you know, 10 months after finding out, or 9 months later, or whatever, is still just as rageful and problematically accepting. He's mad at his chromosomes. He says,
right.
Yes.
I need different chromosomes.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm not going to get them.
Yeah.
And you should have dealt with that.
Oh, and he is then hard cut to the baby is crying in their home and they're yelling
at
each other.
I have a clip if we want to hear.
Of course I do.
Absolutely.
All right, let's play this clip.
Okay, well, I gave him the drops, but it seemed to help a little bit, but
should give him something strong.
I can't. I called him. They said it was normal for babies with this condition. What?
Just say the word one time.
What?
Just say the word one time, girl. What's his condition? Huh? 10 months you hadn't said it one time. What's his condition? Why is he crying? Why is he hurting? Because he's a dwarf. Carol, he's a dwarf.
He's a baby and you're scaring him.
He's a baby and he's a dwarf. And that ain't why he's crying. He's crying because he hurts.
Fuck
his inside can't get outside.
Fuck you.
One time. One time. Say the goddamn word. He's a dwarf. I'm a dwarf.
No, you're not a dwarf.
Whoa.
You're a full-sized guy.
Guys, that's what this movie is like. Like, a predominant amount of this movie is scenes just like that.
Right. And we and with no explanation. There is no explanation of his motivation at all. Is he ashamed? Is he just worried about the medical issues?
What needs to change for him? Like, what's his character arc? There isn't one.
There isn't one. And then there's no reason for Gary Oldman to be the way he is. There are so many opportunities for a little person to tell his or her story. There are, in fact, a lot of little people in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
You could just ask them their own stories and then write them down and turn them into a couple of pages of dialogue so that we understand one person's motivation or what everybody's so fucking upset about.
Yeah.
But they don't do any of that.
The movie kind of reads like an instruction manual or something, like, hey, if you have dwarf friends or that your friends are going through this, this is what they're experiencing. It feels like an educational film.
But with all of the educational parts taken out.
Yeah,
with no actual learning,
just like the impotent rage of somebody who doesn't want to learn.
Right.
You know, it's basically about a reluctant student who, in the end of the movie, doesn't learn anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Or doesn't have any particular desire to.
Because he basically abandons them.
He leaves.
He abandons his wife and child.
Right.
Well, Kate Beckinsale goes up to the cabin in Big Bear.
Right.
And she really is free living with these people that are awesome up there. They're having a great time in this cabin.
Yeah, they're super in love, but they fight all the time suddenly.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be getting along just fine before, but now they're throwing plates and whatever.
And then what happens is what we've been seeing the entire time. There's something between Gary Oldman and Kate Beckinsale. That's why she kisses him on the lips every time.
Yeah.
That was weird throughout the whole movie. Really weird. She kisses him on the lips.
Always kissing on the lips. And at the end of the last shot of the movie is Matthew McConaughey has left. He's abandoned them. He says, I love my son, but abandons them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Kate Beckinsale and Gary Oldman are by the fire. And she says, Rolf, you can kiss me if you want.
You can kiss me if you want.
I think it's gross.
Yeah.
But if you want to.
But if this is going to make you feel better.
But if you
about
want to,
freak,
you can do this to me.
Yeah. Yeah. The end.
I have no agency.
The end.
Yes. Yes. And then credits.
Yeah. I could not, like, my hands were up like this for like
I rewound because I was like, I must have missed something.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. It's like the Sopranos ending of this movie. It's like, wait, it's over? Wait, no, it can't be. I was getting ready for like a whole third act. I was like, shit, this movie's not over yet.
Yeah.
Well, that's why when you tell me it was over 2 hours long, at one point I'm like, oh, I want to see that cut.
I do too.
Because
so
this
bad.
Movie is just awkward scene, fade to black. New scene, fade to black. I mean, like, it is so clumsily edited.
Yeah, and like, with each new scene, every time they start a new scene, it is like a whole different movie.
It's also as if, like, a year of time has passed.
Right, right. And, like, Matthew McConaughey leaves the family. Like,
yes.
He has that big blow up, and he leaves the family, right? Next scene, he comes up to the house in Big Bear, and he's like, come on, baby, give me one more chance.
Yeah.
As though she had left him.
Yeah.
He left. But then all of a sudden it's like the two of them left him.
Sure.
It just doesn't make sense.
No,
there's so much missing.
This movie is a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, like, this, it makes no sense. Like,
right.
the movie that begins is not at all the movie by the end. Like, it is, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be like a dramatic comedy that is about a guy who needs to come to grips with who he is and blah, blah. No, oh, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really just, there is so much, the hazards, the health hazards and political hazards of being a little person in America is so much a part of this movie. Like, just long exposition scenes where people are detailing all of the medical ailments that that dwarfs go through and all the, like, it is a, there's, it's a message movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's craziness going on here.
Yeah, super crazy, but it's never, no, nobody's motivations make any sense at all.
None. Obviously, we had some issues with this movie, but there are other people who thought it was pretty great. So now it's time for a second opinion. These are actual reviews written from Amazon.com. 5-star reviews. The first review is from TFS. If you rate this movie as a Sundance movie, you'll probably give it 5 stars.
Probably.
If you rate it as a blockbuster, then you expect too much. For this movie, either you liked it or hated it. Even if you give it a low rating, you should watch it again, but slowly.
But slowly?
You should watch it slowly?
Wait, what?
That was the most confusing review I've ever read, and it made me laugh so hard.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Hey, babe, let's watch this.
Or you hated it, watch it again.
Yeah, but slowly. Oh, you know what I want to do? I want to watch that Tiptoes movie again. But I want to watch it slower this time.
Yeah, I want to really savor it.
Slow it down.
Yeah, that, but okay, so I guess as an indie movie, as an indie movie that is under no obligation to make any sense, it gets 5 stars.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, if the stars measurement system is pointless. Right. If 5 stars equals a banana, you know what I mean? Like, who cares? If you're using stars to rate movies, this has 63 stars.
This movie is as good as soup. Is
that random.
Enjoying life writes, I think you need to be prepared to watch this with a sense of half fantasy, half archetype. Sit back and enjoy the costumes and get over the literal hang-ups.
Wait, what?
Enjoy the costumes? It's the same as Edward Scissorhands. If you can't do that, you won't be happy. Personally, I give everyone in the cast my full kudos.
Wait. If you can't do that, you won't be happy. Not that you won't enjoy this movie. Yeah. You won't be happy in life.
I'm not kidding. Like, I find these reviews as cryptic and bizarre as the script of this movie.
Yeah, this says a lot about the people reviewing.
Enjoy the costumes? It was the first thing this person said positive.
Enjoy the giant, filthy robe that Gary Oldman is in for 40% of the film.
The costumes in this movie are pointless, except for little person Gwen Stefani's whore outfit.
Yeah.
She's and like, the great hat. And they're pretty
terrific hats. There's some terrific, and you know, Matthew McConaughey in briefs, like coming to bed after a day of training firemen in like pristine, beautiful white briefs with 3 potatoes stuck down the front.
But that's the same scene where he puts in the retainer, fingerling potatoes.
Yeah.
But that's the same scene where he puts in the retainer. So you're undercutting the sexy by going like, here's a sexy guy. With the retainer.
I felt bad for Kate Beckinsale because every day she had to have those fake tattoos applied.
Oh, yeah, those shitty tattoos.
Can you imagine?
She has, like, a Sharon Needles tattoo if you're watching Drag Race. She has she has a weird, like... Anyway.
Doesn't someone ask her in the middle of the movie, they go, so you're an artist?
Yeah.
And she goes, it pays the bills.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Like, it pays the bills? Like, why would you ever say that about... You're an artist.
Yeah. but her art truly is horrible.
It's horrible. It's giant and horrible.
Yeah.
And pointless. But she can afford a gigantic, I guess it's one of those giant downtown lofts or something.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, on a fireman instructor's pay, it's pretty good too.
I guess so.
He's a former Navy man too.
Uh-huh.
I do want to talk about one thing that was disturbing. It doesn't really fit anywhere else in the entire conversation. But when she is taking the pregnancy test, she's letting the pregnancy thing that you piss on sit on her coffee cup?
Yes.
On her coffee cup.
Yeah.
Right.
So you've urinated on that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
A piss-riddled thing, and then she's going to drink from that coffee cup. That really freaked me out.
She also does that thing where she's, like, reading aloud the instructions for how to use it.
Yeah.
And it's like, urinate on the thing, and if 2 lines show up, but she to nobody.
Right.
Like, what?
And that would be on the box. That would be on the box.
And also, like, do we... Is she explaining it to the audience as if we don't know what a pregnancy test
yeah.
is?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, she's like, two lines will appear, and there is no insert shot of the pregnancy test with two lines. She just looks at it and smiles,
no,
obviously
at the beginning,
pregnant.
It's already two lines.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's sitting on the coffee cup.
Oh,
there are two
okay.
visible
I missed
lines.
That. Missed that. Okay.
Yeah, so it's already done.
Oh, God, this movie is terrible.
Like, here's the thing. I am a gay guy. I know how to do a pregnancy test. You know what I mean? Like, I know you piss on it, and if it's two lines and you're pregnant. That will never enter into my life at all, but I know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a sexually active woman in her childbearing years, you might have come across this thing before.
Especially if you're having unprotected sex.
Right.
Which she clearly does because she's a big slut.
Right. Right. Like Sally.
She is, at the end of the movie... is going to, I guess, start a relationship with her husband's twin brother.
Right. Right.
Yes. That's the movie. That's the end of this movie.
Yeah. With his giant padded ass. We never really got to his giant ass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they pad out his huge ass.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be a sequel?
If there isn't, I'm suing.
I hope there's not, because I just want these characters to live in my mind forever so that they can do whatever I think.
I wonder if there is Tiptoes fan fiction.
Oh, God.
There must be, right?
Oh, please let it be so.
I want to see, like, I just want to follow more of Peter Dinklage drinking his, like, cherry morphine cognac.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, now that I think about it later, because they're later talking about how little people need morphine to mitigate the pain that is caused by their bodies being in their organs and all this kind of stuff. And that must just be, I'm assuming that Dinklage is just a stand-in for so many problems that little people have, like morphine addiction, like ulcers, pain, all this kind of stuff. He must just be the physical representation of all of that.
Right, right.
And Patricia Arquette is just the sweet, sweet pussy he gets because of it.
Yeah, he deserves a reward.
Oh, yeah.
I love that he's, when we kind of first find out that he's French at the in the scene when he's drinking the morphine and cognac, which is awful, he's like...
Patricia Arquette says it's smooth.
Yeah, it's smooth. And he goes, I wish I had a crepe.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Like French people just eat crepes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And also call them crepes, like American people do.
And I wish I had one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What I wouldn't do for a crepe right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You do a fucking restaurant. You've got money to live, apparently.
And also the idea that, like, oh, you know what I crave when I'm having my medicine and cognac is a crepe, because you always eat those together in France.
Yum. Oh.
The other thing that made no sense was at the wedding, this is so crazy. At the wedding, you see everybody sitting in chairs and everybody's watching, and then they cut to an insert shot of Patricia Arquette and Peter Dinklage on a blanket in the field watching the wedding from afar.
Right.
So clearly they were not able to be there the day of the wedding shoot.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, what if they're there just off to the side watching, and she's going, that should be us getting married. You know, this is when Dinklage has cornrows,
this
by the way.
This is when he has cornrows. So yeah, that must have come later, and maybe he had cut his hair for something else.
Something
and
happened.
Yeah, they just, they put in some cornrows.
They're like, don't worry about
stitches.
It. We'll put in cornrows.
Right.
And you guys, we'll just shoot it in a park in Los Angeles, and it'll be as if you, it'll match perfectly. By the way, does not match at all.
And he also explains why it's not good to get married, because when you're married, you become relatives and you're not lovers anymore. And then he makes out with her again on this little blanket.
So Sally is invited to the wedding.
Yes.
But Peter Dinklage is not. Maurice. It's Maurice. Right?
Maurice, yeah.
Oh my gosh, guys, go see this movie. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's well worth the 90 minutes.
It's really, it's a fascinating movie.
It is. I wasn't bored.
No.
Ever.
No. Because I spent so much time just trying to figure out what was going on. Like, why I still don't know, why did Gary Oldman and Peter Dinklage ride motorcycles into Los Angeles? Where were they? They were riding 400 miles.
Right.
Yes.
Why? From where? For what? I don't know.
For what? Yeah, to not go to the Midget Glad Awards.
Yes, to miss out on it.
Yeah, they to piss off their parents by not going.
But don't know why.
Why be in town?
Don't know why.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's,
mind
it's
blown.
Really, it's
You'll
really
rewind
incredible.
It. You will definitely rewind this movie two or three times just to go, like, did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
So is a director's cut available?
We got to find it. If anyone has links to the director's cut, please send it to us. We need to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I can only imagine that it makes a little bit more sense at 2 hours.
Oh, I would hope so.
I don't know. Oh. I'm going to go ahead and say no.
I'm sure it exists. I'm sure. I bet it went to Sundance at 2 hours.
Oh, sure.
No, sure. That's what they did. And they cut it down for Sundance. So the director freaked out.
We should be able to get a copy of two-hour tip.
It's out there somewhere.
Yes. Please. Someone has it. Director, please contact us.
You know what
us.
I heard? I heard Topher Grace cut it down. I heard Topher Grace cut it down to 90 minutes.
Really?
He's recutting everything.
All right. All right.
He's really that talented. He's really talented about that. Dave, is there anything that you would like to promote? Anything you'd like to pitch? You're on Twitter, at Dave
Twitter,
Holmes.
At Dave Holmes, yeah. Let's see. A second season of A Drink with Dave is coming soon. We're about to do a Kickstarter. We're sorry. But we're going
that's awesome.
We're going
that's great.
And Mapping the Heavens every third Thursday of the month.
Third
Thursday of every month at UCB. It's a little variety show that Rob Delaney and I do. Paul's done it.
And it's an amazing show. It's Los Angeles at the UCB Theater. Mm-hmm. So check that
indeed.
Out.
Yeah. But yeah, follow me on Twitter, at Dave Holmes. Thank you for having me, you guys.
No problem.
And
thanks
so
for
good.
Introducing
me. Truly, I do. I want to thank you for bringing this into my life. I really do.
You enjoyed it. Oh, also, one thing I want to pitch out is we have brand new t-shirts, and they're awesome looking. It's Bailing from Crank 2, Shooting a Gun, designed by Jason Oda. He did an amazing job. Get one of these t-shirts. They're awesome looking.
Great.
I'm Paul Scheer on Twitter. Jason, you're not on Twitter.
Not on Twitter, Paul.
All right.
But you got a big movie coming up.
Oh, yeah. Go see The Dictator, guys. May 16th, coming out all over the world, I believe.
Nice. Boom.
And I'm not going to lie to you. Me and my giant beard are in that movie.
Right on.
thanks to Cody, our engineer, Dave Steffi, who actually pulled all of today's clips. He's going to be doing that from now on, which is great. And a big thanks to Dustin, our long-term engineer, who is no longer with us, but did a great job in his tenure with us.
He's not dead.
So, yeah, no, he's still alive.
Okay.
We think.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Who knows what's happened in the last couple of days?
That's true.
All right, we'll see you guys later. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.
This February, true legends from the worlds of comedy and music will unite to form the Supergroup. I'm Tawny Newsome. On every episode, me and my co-host, Alex Kleiner, will invite our talented friends to write and record an original song with us over the course of a week.
You'll hear every step of the process, from writing and rewriting to recording and mixing. Songs with Open Mike Eagle, Paul F. Tompkins, Ted Leo, Sasheer Zamata, Janet Varney, and more.
The Supergroup. Join the band February 6th on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.